Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
And those kind of things that's really hitting school districts across the state really, really hard. It's at the point that we're going to have to look locally if there's an opportunity to bring some revenue in.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the district has cut spending about as much as it can and is now looking at a possible property tax increase.
A Kentucky gas and oil industry official says the Bluegrass Pipeline could lower utility costs in rural areas of the Commonwealth.
A motorist has been killed in an accident near Olive Hill.
In sports, the Reds hope to continue their playoff push tonight against the Diamondbacks.
But Luke has the business news.
Isolated thunderstorms tonight with lows around 65. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
WSAZ is reporting that a person has been killed in a two-vehicle crash in Carter County. Dispatchers say the accident happened near Olive Hill on Kentucky 174, close to its intersection with U.S. 60. It was reported around 2 o'clock this afternoon.
No injuries are reported in a pre-dawn fire that destroyed a Floyd County home. According to WINT, the blaze gutted an empty house on Old Post Office Street in Martin. The fire broke out around 2 o'clock this morning. Its cause is under investigation.
The Rowan County School Board has scheduled a public hearing for August 27th on a proposed 4% property tax increase. It takes place at 5:30 at the Proudfoot Administration Building. School Superintendent Marvin Moore says if approved, the higher tax would generate an additional $304,000 for the Rowan schools.
If you look at that, that won't even cover the cost of the seat cut. And give you an example of what would cost an individual if they had a piece of property that was appraised, say at $100,000, that would be approximately $20 more a year. This year, that piece of property, they would have paid $532. If the board passes this 4% next year, they'll pay $552.
Moore says the school district has eliminated more than 50 positions from its payroll over the past 5 years and has done its best to cope with state and federal budget cuts. However, he says without additional revenue, it'll be difficult to maintain existing programs.
With the state's lawmakers conveniently located this week in Frankfort, lobbyists are also gathering there. Education is not on the special session's agenda, but advocates are asking legislators to restore funding for child and kinship care. KPR Stu Johnson reports from Frankfort.
Since last April, no new families have been added to the list of Kentuckians who can receive child care or kinship assistance from the state. Both state programs help low-income families pay for the care of their children. Given Kentucky's $70 million surplus, Children's Alliance President Michelle Sanborn says some funding should now be restored.
We believe that those cuts are detrimental to kids and families, and they'll only end up in the state's custody in the foster care system, which we'd like to prevent.
In a statement released today from the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, it noted one-time funds to support subsidies dried up, and income eligibility for assistance was lowered. It goes on to say use of rainy day funds to make up the difference is not allowable. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
Oil production in Kentucky over the past 11 years reached 31 million barrels, but increased significantly in the last year. That's what the executive director of the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association told a House panel in Frankfort today. Andrew McNeil testified before the House Natural Resources and Environment Committee. He says the state's average annual production during the period was 2.5 million barrels.
In 2012, it was 3,197,000 barrels that were produced. And from 2011 to 2012, that represents a 37% increase in a year.
McNeil says nearly all of the oil produced in Kentucky each year comes from four counties, Henderson, Union, Leslie, and Lee.
Rural parts of Kentucky that rely heavily on propane to heat their homes and power their farms would save on their energy bills if the Bluegrass Pipeline is constructed. That's according to the legislative chair of the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association. Bill Barr told members of the House Energy and Environment Committee today that areas of Kentucky are not serviced by local distribution companies have much to gain by getting access to the natural gas liquids that would be moving through the pipeline.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to capture part of this stream of natural gas liquids being produced elsewhere, convert it to ethane, propane, and butane, reduce the price because of transportation is a significant portion of both the importation of ethane into Kentucky and the bringing of propane into Kentucky.
Barr says none of the natural gas liquids that would pass through the Bluegrass Pipeline are toxic. He says they're already being produced at multiple sites in Kentucky now and are transported to the petrochemical industry in the South. Williams and Boardwalk is seeking permission to construct its pipeline through 18 Kentucky counties to supply energy companies in the Gulf of Mexico.
Officials say construction on a long-awaited weapons disposal facility at the Bluegrass Army Depot in Madison County is about 70% complete, and it is on track to start operations in 2020. Chemical Destruction Community Advisory Board co-chair Craig Williams says it took several years for the project to recover from funding cuts in 2004. However, Williams tells the Courier-Journal and Richmond Register construction is now on schedule now that allocations have been more consistent. Once operational, the Bluegrass Agent Destruction Pilot Plant will be used to disassemble and neutralize the mustard, sarin, and VX agent munitions contained in more than 100,000 rockets and artillery pieces that comprise the Bluegrass chemical weapons stockpile.
A House committee in Frankfort has passed the chamber's redistricting plan on a 25-4 vote with the support of many Republicans. The only Democrat who voted against the bill was Representative Jimmy Lee of Elizabethtown. The proposed map splits Hardin County among six districts, and only his district, the 25th, remains entirely within Hardin County. Lee calls that unfair. Some technical difficulties there. The bill is expected to easily win an approval from the full House on Wednesday. The House map pairs eight incumbents, four Republicans, and four Democrats against each other in elections next year. It varies quite a bit from a 2012 House proposal that pitted nine incumbents against each other, eight of them Republicans. That plan was thrown out by the Kentucky Supreme Court.
Count Senate Majority Leader Damon Thayer among those who don't care for the House redistricting plan introduced Monday in the House. The Scott County Republican expressed his discontent with the proposal on the Senate floor today.
You can walk within a block of the town and have three different representatives, which seems to me to be in defiance of the communities of interest provision when considering redistricting.
Thayer concedes there's little the Senate can do about the House redistricting proposal except complain about it, so that's what he's doing.
State House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins may not be leaving the Moorhead area behind after all. Under the revamped House map, Adkins and fellow Democrat John Will Stacy would leave Rowan County for other districts. Along with Elliott and Lewis counties, Rowan County would join the new 99th district and initially have an open seat. However, Adkins, a Sandy Hook native and a Moorhead State University graduate, admits he's thinking of moving back to the area with an eye on becoming its representative. Adkins, who currently lives in Catwoodsburg, says he'll discuss the situation with his family first before making a decision.
You know, there is some hardship when any time you move, when you got a fourth grader and you're moving from one location to another. So when I made a decision to run for the House of Representatives 27 years ago, we made that decision around the family dinner table. And I can tell you that this decision will be made around the family dinner table as well.
Because of election residency requirements, Adkins says he must decide on his possible move before November when he has to file for re-election. If he stays in the 100th District, Adkins would be forced to run against fellow Democrat Kevin Sinnott.
Johnson County lawmaker Hubert Collins says he will run against John Will Stacy in the Democratic primary for state representative in the 97th district next year. The new district includes Johnson, Morgan, and Wolf counties and is one of two potential matchups between incumbent Democrats in 2014. should a redistricting plan from House Democratic leaders be approved. Collins spoke with Inside Cable's Pure Politics. He says emphatically he will be a candidate.
We will not have any negative or anything like that. We'll have a positive campaign and just see how things come up, turn out.
Collins is from Wittensville, and Stacy lives in West Liberty.
Saying it's like Christmas in August for him, State Senator Walter Blevins of Moorhead says he's pleased with the new proposed district map for his chamber. The way it's drawn up, the new 27th district the Democrat would represent would include Rowan, Fleming, Nicholas, Bourbon, Robertson, Harrison, Lewis, and Mason counties.
It's much better than what they proposed last time when it was going to be 60-40 Republican with me and Stivers, president of the Senate, have to run against each other. And that's kind of what I anticipated until I saw the plan. And I'm very elated that, it's a district I think I could win fairly easily if I get out and work hard.
Voter registration in the new 27th district favors Democrats by an almost 2-to-1 margin. Even though he likes how the state Senate's new map shapes up, Blevins admits he's still considering a run next year for Round County Judge Executive.
Repairs are being made to Ashland's historic Paramount Theater to prevent additional water damage inside the 82-year-old building. Kathy Setterman is executive director of the Art Center.
They're doing some work right now on the outside of the building, and that's to plug up the holes that are letting water come into between the walls and causing damage to our murals. So the next thing we'll do is we'll have the murals restored.
Those murals feature 16th century theatrical characters and were painted by the Italian artist Vincent Mondo. Setterman says preservation of the Paramount's Art Deco style is something about which the PAC's board is passionate.
U.S. Representative Hal Rogers recently gave some kudos to an Eastern Kentucky man who is a member of his staff. Sam Steyert reports.
Rogers attended a community luncheon in Bettyville on Monday to provide a Washington update and to honor Will Smith, a native of Lee County and a veteran member of his staff on the House Appropriations Committee. Rogers presented Smith with an award of appreciation for the work he's done over the last 15 years on his staff. The 5th District Congressman called Smith one of the smartest political tacticians in Washington. The Hill, a congressional newspaper, recently named Smith as one of the 100 people to watch this fall. From SPR News, I'm Sam Steyer.
And finally this afternoon, creating the right mood can challenge Civil War reenactors. Philip Seifert, who is the superintendent at Richmond Battlefield Park, says they'll try to avoid a circus atmosphere. Seifert says they repeatedly remind visitors that 5,300 soldiers were killed, wounded, and captured in that battle.
And it's not that we want to be a downer. It's just we need to remember what these men did. And when I do talks across the nation and things, I look at them, and people will ask me, well, why in the world do you do this? Well, I said, well, if I don't do it, and people like you don't do it, then who's going to do it?
Reenactors this weekend mark the Battle of Richmond's 151st anniversary. This year, wreaths will be laid, honoring the 10 states that sent soldiers into combat near Richmond. Seifert adds two states, Kentucky and Tennessee, had soldiers fighting on both sides of the battle.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including Bath, Robertson, and Greenup counties. Tonight, partly cloudy with isolated showers and patchy fog towards dawn. Lows around 67 degrees, chance of rain 20%. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs around 80, chance of rain is 60%. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 40%. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees. Flemingsburg, 81 degrees. Winchester, 84 degrees. Lexington, 85 degrees. Inez, 84 degrees. And in Moorhead, it is currently 83 degrees.
It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Lexington's City Council hopes to accelerate progress in its downtown distillery district. KPR's Stu Johnson has the story.
Lexington's new distillery district, located along Manchester Street, already features a number of entertainment, arts, and cultural attractions. Still, some council members worry the pace of development is too slow. So, a council committee urged the city to accelerate work on the Town Branch Trail. Vice Mayor Linda Gordon says a foot and bike path should be extended into the distillery district as soon as possible.
That was part of what went on in the discussion, was the council said, no more delay. We want to do the trail. And I mean, that's the point of this discussion, was to say, let's move forward.
As proposed, the trail would run from Masterson Station Park along Town Branch Creek through the distillery district and into downtown Lexington. Also on the drawing board is a connection of Manchester Street and Broadway and a beautification effort throughout the district. Tied to the distillery district is a resurrection of Town Branch Creek, which now flows underground. While admirable, Councilmember Ed Lane argues easing access to the distillery district must be the council's priority.
I still say that the top priority ought to be how to connect the distillery district to downtown, because it's going to be very difficult to get other investment if you can't show how that's going to work.
The distillery district is situated near the so-called Rupp Arena district. Planning Commissioner Derek Paulson says both projects should improve the neighborhood's cultural and economic life.
It's important to think about both projects, and this is not taking money from one or the other. This is really trying to find a way to make sure that they're integrated so that the one helps the other.
The council committee plans to review the matter further at its October meeting. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
It is 4:46. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State. Public Radio, All Things Considered from NPR, is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Chase has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, open at 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and located near the entrance to the Morehead City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program WIC and senior checks are accepted. For additional information, the phone number is 784-5457. Kentucky Proud. Nothing else is close.
The cards continue to be wild for the Reds. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The Cincinnati Reds will bid for their eighth win in 10 games tonight as they again host Arizona at 7:10. The Reds beat the D-backs last night 5-3 behind Bronson Arroyo's 12th win of the season. Recently rejoining the ball club after missing nearly all of the season, Ryan Ludwig helped manager Dusty Baker's team by driving in his first run of 2013 with a double. Baker hopes that's a sign of things to come from his left fielder.
Well, you know, that's what we hope for. He's still not satisfied, really, but, you know, you got to take baby steps before you start rolling. So I'm just glad that, you know, I told him he got the big hit tonight, and that was a huge hit.
6-2 lefty Tony Cingrani will pitch tonight for the Reds against Arizona 12-game winner Patrick Corbin. Cincinnati starts the day 2.5 games behind first-place Pittsburgh in the National League Central. The Reds lead Arizona by 6 games for the NL's second wild card spot. Fresh off a win, the Lexington Legends are back at home at Whitaker Bank Ballpark after a 9-game road trip. The Legends will be opening up a 3-game series with the Augusta Green Jackets and their starting pitcher, Martin Augusta, who is 8-3 on the year. For the home-standing Legends, they will put Daniel Stumpf on the hill, who holds on to a 10-8 record. First pitch from Whitaker Bank Ballpark starts at 7:05. With his team's 2013 campaign set to kick off in just a week and a half, new Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure remains upbeat about the Eagles' work ethic. Tenure says his players are going about their business with great focus and intensity as they continue preseason drills.
Guys are really into it right now. You know, I think they're really hungry, and we've got a lot of guys still battling for starting roles and backup roles and even being a part of special teams. So as far as energy and the effort, I couldn't be more happier.
The MSU football team will host UPike a week from Thursday night at Jane Stadium. Tenure vows his guys will be more than ready to go by then. According to Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops, the competition for the Wildcats' starting quarterback's job has been narrowed down. Speaking to reporters after practice on Monday, Stoops said he's trying to decide between two players right now, although he's refusing to name them.
We're working what we need to work all along. So, like I said, we have made some movement on the quarterback position, and no starter's been named, but we're narrowing that down. Let just respect that for a couple more days. We'll let you know what's going on.
Stoops added that UK's number three quarterback could be redshirted this season. And according to the Lexington Herald Leader, sophomore quarterbacks Max Smith and Jalen Whitlow huddled with offensive coordinator Neil Brown after Monday's practice. Brown, though, would not confirm that Smith and Whitlow are the lead contenders for the job. Coming off two straight preseason wins, the Cincinnati Bengals are feeling pretty good with their progress so far. That's according to head coach Marvin Lewis. One of the biggest improvements so far is the Bengals' offense, which has outscored its first two opponents 61-29. Coach Lewis admits, though, teaching the younger guys that haven't played much on the special teams has been a real challenge.
The speed of the game. You know, I think it's a fast-paced thing. There's a lot of open field opportunity. So your hand placement, your feet, your hips, and where you belong is all important, because the other part of it is, you know, we can't get penalties. Then there's some naturalness comes to in the coverage teams and the ability to run the field, have good vision and feel, separate off a block, and then finish by making a tackle.
The Bengals will continue that work toward their matchup with America's team in the Cowboys in Dallas this Saturday. Taking a look into some other NFL storylines around the league, the Philadelphia Eagles named quarterback Michael Vick to the starting job. Vick was asked his reaction when coach Chip Kelly told him he would start the season at quarterback.
So thank you, and I appreciate it, and I won't let him down. And that was pretty much it. So whether it happened now or 2 weeks from now, I'm still going to have the same approach, same mindset as I've been having.
In other news, another QB has been named to the starting job as the Cleveland Browns named Brandon Whedon to the role. And the NFL will suspend Texans defensive end Antonio Smith for one regular season game and Houston's remaining two preseason games for forcibly removing the helmet of Miami Dolphins offensive lineman Richie Incognito and then dangerously swinging it at him. The clock is ticking as the Rowan County football team counts down to the start of its season. The Vikings will open up with Clark County on Saturday at the 66th Annual Recreation Bowl in Mount Sterling. A key focus in practice for Coach Kyle Singleton this week is making sure that new starting quarterback Devin Helvey is ready for the opener, and he thinks the sophomore will be.
You know, Helvey's an extremely intelligent young man, and that's, you know, one of the reasons that he won that job. I mean, he's got a pretty deep understanding of our offense and what we're wanting to do. And I probably limited him some in the scrimmage as far as letting him check in and out of some things. And we'll try to open that up a little bit with him this week and see if he can handle that and see how it goes early on.
Helvey and the Vikings will be out this fall to improve on Rowan's 4-7 finish of last year. And finally, the Rowan County boys soccer team will try to move to 2-0 this season tonight as the Vikings travel to Pendleton County to face the Wildcats at 6. First-year Vikings head coach Max Hammond says he has high hopes for his squad this season, noting that he really likes the athletic ability of his players.
Man, our speed and conditioning is probably our biggest asset. I mean, we're great with the ball, but whenever you have speed with that, it's going to be great.
In case you missed it, Rowan's Lady Vikings opened the season with a 5-1 win over Pendleton last night. They'll host Fleming County on Thursday evening at 5:30. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a wonderful evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle football kicks off their 2013 season by hosting Pikeville at Jane Stadium on Thursday, August 29th. Game time is 7 p.m. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks ended mixed as investors focused on earnings reports from several major retailers. The S&P 500 broke its four-day losing streak, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average gave up earlier gains to end lower for the fifth straight day. Both indices are still up 15% for the year, and the NASDAQ closed slightly higher, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ index has gained 19% year-to-date. And as mentioned, retailers big in the news today, and of course, for most of these, JCPenney, which posted a big loss that was even worse than the forecast. Despite that, the struggling retailer noted that its same-store sales, a key measure for retailers, were slightly better than they were during the first quarter of 2013. Shares retreated a bit from their highs of the day, but were still up 6% at the close. Best Buy, which has struggled recently, appears to be a step ahead of JCPenney in the turnaround process, as the electronics retailer reported a surge in profit, which CEO Herbert Joly attributed to aggressive cost cutting. The stock has now gained 185% so far this year. Retailers Urban Outfitters and TJX were also top performers in the S&P 500 after releasing solid earnings reports. And Home Depot announced a gain in quarterly net profit and raised its guidance for 2013. Rival Lowe's will report its results tomorrow. And at the 4 o'clock close, as mentioned, the Dow giving up all of an earlier gain as the blue chip average finished with a loss of 7.75 at 15,002.99. The S&P 500 was up 6.29 at 1652.35, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 24.5, finishing at 3613.59. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 23-13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Gold was up 0.33%, while oil was down 1.75%. And besides earnings, there was little market-moving news as investors continue to speculate about when the U.S. Federal Reserve will begin to tighten monetary policy, and the minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest monetary policy meeting will be closely watched tomorrow when they are released for clues as to when the central bank will begin its tapering of its $85 billion a month in bond purchases. And overseas, European markets were lower, with investors paring back risk before the Fed minutes. And in Asia, stocks were also lower across the board on worries that possible changes to the Fed's bond-buying program will take capital out of riskier markets. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.79 at $87.71. Marathon Petroleum up $1.94 at $70.99. Walmart down 35 cents at $73.23. Ford up 19 cents at $16.31, Facebook up 60 cents at $38.41, and Google's down 23 cents to finish at $8.65.42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU's East Kentucky Small Business Development Centers in Ashland, Moorhead, Paintsville, and Pikeville, serving 25 counties throughout East Kentucky. The centers provide one-on-one confidential consulting services for existing and startup business owners. Led by experienced counselors, MSU's East Kentucky Small Business Development Centers can assist businesses to maximize their growth. More information online at moorheadstate.edu/SBDC.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Clearfield, Salyersville, and West Liberty, tonight partly cloudy with isolated showers and patchy fog towards dawn, lows around 67 degrees, chance of rain is 20%. Tomorrow partly cloudy with numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 80, chance of rain is 60%. Wednesday night partly cloudy with isolated showers in the evening with areas of fog developing towards dawn. Lows around 65 degrees, chance of rain is 20%. Thursday and Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again. Highs in the lower 80s, lows in the upper 60s, chance of rain is 40%. Friday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, with highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain is 40%. And Saturday night, mostly clear with highs in the lower 80s and lows in the lower 60s. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees, Flemingsburg 81 degrees, Winchester 84 degrees, Lexington 85 degrees, Inez 84 degrees, and in Moorhead it is 83 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Sam Steyer, Jared Wesley, Asa Hosada, and Arlo Barnett. From Kentucky Public Radio, Stu Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.